With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Good morning and welcome to Morning Java, brought to you as always by our friends at the Get-Go Cafe and Market, where they are offering a free coffee or fountain drink to everyone on Election Day on November 3rd. How cool is that? I've never even heard of an offer like that. That's really neat.
I haven't either, but I also never saw somebody with a company shirt like you, and I don't have one, DK.
Oh, and this is what happens when Ramon decides to stay in Hendersonville instead of coming down to Nissan Stadium in Nashville when the rest of the crew is there. And we had one of these waiting for you. We had it in Ramon size. Don't worry, you'll get it.
You know what? You know what's crazy? You say that after the fact, okay?
Oh, so the stupid shirt would have gotten you to come down to the game.
DK, it's all upset.
I see how it is.
It's the small things for me, okay? It's the small things in life.
Okay, well, this shirt that we have for you is not a small thing. It is a large thing.
Don't let it be a small thing. Have me out here like Chris Farley. That guy little coat. Yeah.
It is Steelers versus Ravens week, or as they call it in Baltimore, Steelers week, or as they call it in Pittsburgh, Ravens week. Yeah. Isn't that how it works?
You know what the fans call it? Ratburg week.
Oh, they do. They do. There's a lot of negativity down there as well. I've experienced it. There are historic rivalries. There are fake manufactured rivalries. There are TV network themed up rivalries.
Yeah.
And then there's this.
Yeah. No.
And then there's this.
This is real. This is where when you're a young guy, you get told, hey, never let your guard down in this game. Like, in every other game is real, but never let your guard down in this game. And it's true. If they can.
What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
By meaning, if you think that you got a friend in this game, you don't. While the 60 minutes is going on, you do not. It is really organization against organization. I think all the way, like, from one side to the other side, they're fine to wave at you. Hey, how you guys doing? But when you cross those lines on game day, totally different week. From Ozzie all the way through, like, the competition in the AFC North is usually always between Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
Yes, it is.
And it's always going to be that way, I feel like, because those two organizations, as young as Baltimore is, in a sense, the new Baltimore, that is, they've built themselves up to beat Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh is always going to want to beat Baltimore. Not in the sense of envy, but in the sense of if you win your division, that says a lot about you. That says that you are a damn good team. Like, of course, and then you include Cincinnati and Cleveland in it. Like, we really do beat each other up, but the two big brothers in that division is Pittsburgh and Baltimore, and it's understood. Since he had their 1 or 2 years, maybe 3 years through the 2010s, but it goes through Pittsburgh or Baltimore, period, and they know it.
Yeah. And that's – I've seen some of the data I've been looking through this week. This will be the 25th meeting between Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh. It's tied for the third most meetings between two head coaches in NFL history. They're going to pass everybody.
Because,
you know, just how long, you know, there's no reason for any of them to go anywhere. The evenness of the games, all decided by 3 points. For how many years, the exact score was 23 to 20. Mm-hmm. I mean, the exact score was 23 to 20, like 6 or 7 times.
And you know what's wild about it is if you're able to win the North, depending on what injuries you have and what luck you have, those teams are usually factors in the Super Bowl every single year. Meaning if Pittsburgh makes it, everybody looks like Pittsburgh and always winning. If Baltimore's in the show, it's almost like, Baltimore can always
win it. Yeah,
it's only like two organizations that are like those two really come to the forefront. You got Green Bay and recent New Orleans, but New Orleans falling on the sword with Drew Brees right now in a sense. But if you mention two organizations historically, screw what the Patriots did in the 20s, okay? Or the 2000s, like historically, Pittsburgh is always, if they get to the show, they got it. So if you got a team like Baltimore who's that good also, they also think they can be in the show. And the players believe that. Like, I respect the heck out of every Suggs. Oh, man, love them to death. Like, even Flacco, love him to death. Like, all the players that Haloti Ngata, you name them off, you reel them off. Like, Judon, I mean, even with Za'Darius Smith, like, even him, like, all those guys, like, yeah, it's cool. The respect factor is there. But on game day, oh, there is absolutely none of that. Like, I get hyped talking about that.
Yeah, game. I can tell. No, I can tell. There were times in this series, and this was during your career, where I genuinely feared, and that's not an exaggerated word, for people's health.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of that was cleaned up by the National Football League, not Steelers and Ravens specific, but but no one bent the rules of what constituted contact, legal or otherwise, the way Pittsburgh and Baltimore did to each other. Not even the later term, the Pittsburgh-Cincinnati stuff, because that was mostly just about a couple of nutcases on the other side.
Yeah, no doubt.
It wasn't – this was mutual. This was these were two teams legitimately trying to hurt each other. When I say hurt each other, I'm not talking about injury, career ending, whatever. But I'm talking about within football context trying to hurt each other.
Yeah.
That's rare. That is rare.
But you know what? When you walk into that stadium, whether you're walking in, was it
M&T Bank Stadium? M&T I know. Bank Nobody stadium. Remembers it.
If you walk in M&T or you walk into Heinz, like the feeling we got walking into M&T was like, all right, it's the effing show.
Oh, like, yeah.
Let's go. Like, and the beauty of it is both sides feel that way. From the scouts, I've heard scouts in the building in Pittsburgh down on the south side be like, let's get this one. Like, it means a lot because if you can beat them, then you got a leg up. And the biggest, I think our conference, our divisional championship, winning the AFC North, has to be held at a higher standard because of the
competition. But it is.
Look at any other division.
You guys have the T-shirts on within 30 seconds of winning those divisions. I've seen it.
It means so much, man. It really does. And after the game, hey, I got no problems with shaking their hands. They've never had a problem. In those games, it's never been a sour moment when I've played in it. Even when Hines was knocking guys out and Suggs was trying to hit Ben and do what he could to him. Like,
busted Ben's nose.
That's what I'm saying. It was just like, you look at those things, though, because you understand what you're playing for as – you know what? That's just a casualty of the game. Like, I played that game one time with a taped up ankle, knowing I shouldn't have been in it. Like, that's what that game means. And if you
who was taking you out? Yeah, who was gonna take you out?
And I'm telling you, that was.
You mentioned something about M&T Bank Stadium. It reminds me of something that I want to share with people. Because getting around to cover, as I have for many years now, all of your games, home and road, we talk a lot about Pittsburgh fans and how they travel and where they are. Not there.
No.
You look around. I mean, there's a couple, but they aren't giving those tickets up. And if they are, they sure aren't giving them up to Steelers fans. No. It's not like any place else in the NFL. Now, this week, they're going to have fans there for the first time. It's going to be about 5,000. So, you mean this? I'm not talking about this week in general. Just this is more going back for years now that tells you how they've become a big part of the Baltimore community to their credit. Yeah. They really have.
Oh yeah.
And they've built a lot of that franchise around beating Pittsburgh.
Oh, no doubt about
that. That goes back to Brian Billick. That's pre-Harbaugh.
Yes.
It's just everything was about if we can beat Pittsburgh, then we're going to be okay.
If you see how both teams are built, they could really be Pittsburgh East Coast.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I know that I'm not playing. So, hey, I can say this. Mm-hmm. They can be Pittsburgh East Coast. Look at the way both sides, the D-lines, always a standard there. The linebackers, always a standard there, the outside linebacker standard. Safeties, like look from Troy to Ed Reed. Like, that's an amazing.
I know, a lot of mirrors going on there. Yeah, I mean, you can Flacco. Throw in Flacco too. Yeah. You were just about to say that. I mean, Flacco, we laughed at the whole, is Flacco elite and everything. He won Super Bowl, you know?
Won a Super Bowl.
And you know, they played really well.
And I know both of them are real, really recent history, but play like a Raven. That's a thing there.
I know. They say it all the time.
And also, the standard is the standard. I think that's going to last for a long time here in Pittsburgh.
Calais Campbell said yesterday in an interview with Baltimore reporters, he said, you're not – they told me, because he's a – you know, he signed there as a
new guy.
He's a new guy. He said, they told me you're not a Raven until you face the Steelers.
That's what they told me as a rookie.
Is that right? That's great.
Yeah. No, that's how it goes. Chase Claypool. Like, that's what they're telling
him.
Hearing
it now. Yep.
Keep your head on the swivel, buddy. Like, yeah. it happens, man. Like, I'm antsy talking about that.
Let's get back to football.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is a tough game to predict. I guess the lazy version, the lazy approach, I should say, to this would just be to say, well, Baltimore's coming off the bye week. Harbaugh is 9-3 coming off bye weeks. They're fresh. They're healthy. They're actually not all that super healthy. Jimmy Smith is having a hard time staying on the field at practice this week. That would be a pretty significant loss for them. But what do you think? I'm having a tough time with this one.
The bye week would have scared me in years past, but this team that plays on the south side or at Heinz Field is really damn good. Like, I legitimately mean that. I think the game last week got close with the Titans because I think Coach Randy and the guys were just trying to put the dagger in them, and it just kind of took them away from the plan. I think the way they played ball this past week against the Titans – they can continue to do that. And I don't want to say breeze through teams, but the stuff that happened with Minka not coming down and hitting A.J. Brown, I don't think that happens ever again. I just don't.
That was a strange play. And on top of that, he slipped. But, you know, not that he didn't misplay it in the first place. Minka, for the record, talked on Thursday in Pittsburgh and said that he thought, and if you saw one angle of the replay, it looked like Vinny had his arm up.
Yeah.
And it looked like he was trying to bat the ball.
Yeah.
That Ryan Tannehill threw. The problem was Tannehill threw a bullet.
Yeah, he did.
Okay. And the timing was perfect, right to A.J. Brown. And A.J. Brown's in full stride going across this way. Minka thought Vinny was going to tip it.
Yeah.
So Minka, that's what he explained. And the replay backs him up. So he stops for a second and then loses his footing and then see you later, you know, but other than that, it's not like they did anything super wrong there.
I know. And I'd throw out there that I take this defense over Baltimore defense. In years past, Baltimore defense has always found a way to close out games. I don't see that being the case. And at least for this week, I don't know if I'm really trusting Lamar in his passing game. Last year, I thought they were more of a threat. They had three solid tight ends. This year, they got one. And I know Hollywood Brown can take the top off the defense, but at the same sense, though, this defense is very good. They have a tight end passing game. They don't have a wide receiver passing game. And right now, the plan that people are using to take Lamar out of his game is the plan that Keith Butler and Mike Tomlin have had for a year now. And they've just been waiting to showcase it again. I know Lamar is going to make his plays, but if you look at what we did against him last year.
Oh.
And you look what teams have done against him this year that's beat him so far. Who was it? Kansas City? Like, that blueprint is sitting on the south side in Pittsburgh.
And it started in Pittsburgh, and then Mike Vrabel picked it up for the playoffs when the Titans went up there and just really shut him down.
Yeah.
That didn't look or feel like an upset, even though the Ravens were 14-2, and that's why. It's been followed through. Andy Reid did the same thing.
Yeah, it's a copycat league. So I know they're coming off the bye week. There will be a wrinkle. Pittsburgh might be in a shoot. Well, they're always gonna be in a shootout with the Ravens, but I'm not buying the bye week thing. I think this team, the Steelers team, kind of wins not convincingly, but they're gonna control the game.
Ben's give me a score. Give me a score.
Give you a score this game. I'll give this.
Your scores are very valuable. It should be understated right here. Underscored. This is the part of the show where we've got fireworks going off and everything else. Hey, everybody, Ramon knows the exact score.
Oh, man, I'll give this week 28-24. And I say that because I feel like Tucker can kick it from anywhere. At some point in time, they're going to have to use him. It might be all kicks that they get, man. But this isn't the same team as it was last year in Baltimore, which is why they're getting Yannick and why they went and got Calais and they're trying to get Dez Bryant in the fold. They know they have deficiencies. I think Pittsburgh gets them this time, 28-24.
We'll see. There's parts of the Pittsburgh team that definitely need work, that need to get upgraded. In particular, I just want to see the deep passing game. We saw pieces of it come back against Cleveland. I just want to see more of that more consistently. I understand Tennessee had their safeties playing out in the Cumberland River.
That's what I was.
Okay. Yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
I get that you might not want to pick on Baltimore's corners because they're very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm sorry. If you have Chase Claypool and you have James Washington on your roster, you got to take some shots. You just have to.
The beauty of it is they didn't have to. They don't have to.
Because not against Tennessee, no.
I'm taking Vance, I'm taking Ebron, I'm taking Juju in the slot over almost anybody in this league right now, simply because, I mean, they have a luxury of I'm glad Ben is starting to see what Ben has been asking for through the draft. Give me guys. Because if that's the case, look what they're doing right now. These guys are he's spreading the ball around.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Big time.
All right, I'm not letting you off the hook on this. Mr. Foster, you said no. See, the difference is between this and other programs in which you will participate and other endeavors in which is that I'm listening to you in addition to speaking. When you say that Coach Randy was trying to get the kill shot there in the second half against Tennessee, instead of just doing what was working and taking what was there, that was something that was pretty commonly expressed here in Pittsburgh by a lot of frustrated fans. So I'm interested in your perspective on that.
Yeah. When you have a team down, and I kind of said it, so I knew this offense here in Tennessee was going to be a problem. They were number two ranked for a reason. They're legit.
They have elite players. They have three guys that you can definitely say are elite players.
Yes, 100%. So my thing was, I think he was trying to show dominance more with the offense than relying on the defense again. If you close them out early with a dagger, then players sometimes kind of internally shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
Coaches start like, okay,
it's not the same.
It's not the same. You go up, what was it at the time, like 24 points? I think it was a 10-point. No,
it was a 20-point lead.
20-point lead.
So think about 27-7, yeah.
If you go for the gusto and you shut them out, like, all right, guys, we got to regroup. It just gives you more of a crease. I don't blame them. I was more of the fact, all right, keep doing what you're doing. I think coaches think ahead a little bit sometimes in the sense of like, well, if we do this entire time, teams are going to focus on this. We got to keep other teams honest too. You break tendencies a little bit. You take away from certain guys to give to other guys because why? If you look at Chase Claypool the entire time, well, you forget about Juju. You forget about James Washington. Ebron has been on a tear really for a little bit. Okay, so you take the game away from him a little bit, break the tendencies. I wasn't mad at it. I understood it because I played for Coach Randy a good bit. But that's just how to get – if you can, you do. You got to think about it. Go into the locker room with a 20-point lead, and then you come out with the ball again. You got to be aggressive. And I know Ben, too, he would have liked to have been aggressive also. So that relationship that they have of knowing what to do, when to do it, it plays out sometimes. And with a game kind of in the bag until the last, like, 7 minutes of the fourth quarter, I don't see nothing wrong with what he was doing, what he was trying to do. Because
if you get that kill shot at some point, and again, they weren't taking, like, when I say that, I'm not referring to like bombs or anything, because they weren't doing that, but they were throwing the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Ben ends up throwing the ball 49 times in a game that at one point they led by 20 points.
And then the other side of it was get James involved more, James Conner. They tried throwing the screen a little bit. There was more vertical stuff. Ben put some balls in some places. And it just – the Titans capitalized. That's what happens when you're playing against a good offense, too.
Well, that's – I mean, but also you mentioned Conner. Conner carried the ball only 11 – not Conner. The Steelers carried the ball, ran the ball only 11 times in the second half. And maybe there were some lessons learned. To the credit of the coaching staff, when they've messed up this season, unlike years past, we've heard it from Mike Tomlin. He was pretty hard on himself and his coaches, for example, about all those third down conversions that Carson Wentz and the Eagles had.
Yeah.
And he said, that was on us. We're going to learn from it. We're going to adjust. Well, what happens the next week? The Browns get
I'm saying? So I say that I really do think this team and this coaching staff has been very methodical about what they're choosing to do, how they're choosing to play games, knowing that they can win games also. That if the Steelers go into overtime, I think they win again against the Titans. I would think they win simply because – you got so many people to pick on. You got so many options. And then that defense is very legit. Like you said, those plays that happen, bam, whatever. The picks that happen, all right, the one was a tip ball. You give that to the quarterback, but is it really? The one at the end of the half, that was – when he threw it, I said, don't throw a pick, man, please don't. But it goes through a stat sheet. And then the one, the Juju, I mean, it still was a catchable ball. I get the underneath route to – who was it? Was it Deontay coming underneath right there? He could have had the first down, I think, right
Deontay there. Was there. Ebron was there. And then Washington was open at the right corner of the end zone. But he locked in on Juju.
I know. So, lesson learned to him. I guarantee you, I would like to guarantee that we wouldn't see that again, man. Again, they knew they could win it, I feel like. And Coach Randy was trying to go for the gusto on that one.
Dude, if they get to 7-0 – they're going to start breathing some rare air. And not that they're looking ahead, but after that, you're talking about, you know, Jaguars, Cowboys, Bengals.
Yeah. One more Baltimore.
Well, but I'm just talking about if you're looking at 7-0, you're looking at 10-0.
Yeah.
And then you start getting the whole world talking about you. I guess there's good and bad in that, isn't there?
It is.
Because there's good in the sense that you build up your confidence, but
– but the target gets bigger on your back.
The target gets bigger, and maybe somebody's – I don't know. I don't look at this room and think of guys walking around with big heads.
No.
You know,
why?
Because I was going to say just because of Cam, but it's not – you know, because Cam would keep everybody in check on this, but
– I think it's more because of last year, season opportunity – and also from 2014 to 2017, that window closed on us.
Oh, yeah.
And it's enough savvy guys in that room to realize Pounce is in year 11. Al is 32, 33. Dave is 30 now. Matt's on a last year deal. You got a young guy at right tackle. We're just talking with Juju's up for a contract. Connor's up for a contract. Bud is up for a contract.
Yeah, this
TJ's up
for time.
This ain't the time to play around.
This isn't the time. No, that's it. I mean, it's funny how many guys already have on their own this week in their calls with us brought up Jacksonville. Not the current Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I'm talking about what you just mentioned, the window closing. But that's how it closed. One day you were 13-3 and everybody's talking, not you guys, but everybody on the outside is talking Super Bowl. And the next day, Leonard Fournette's running right through the middle of the team.
And that's if there was any year to get it, it was that.
That was it.
And that feeling, that pit still sticks with me because they beat us at home, fine, cool. It was hot in Jacksonville. Where do we play? The first one was
the first one was down there.
Down there, yes.
Yeah.
The next one was at home and cold. We should have won that. So think about how many guys was on that team. Vinny was on that team. Cam.
Oh, it's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot
of guys. So, nah, I don't see that. That's why the fans here were so mad when I picked the Steelers to win.
Oh, well.
I know.
Oh, well, tell them you got to be fair and impartial. And then after that, point to your record and point to the score and say, all I was doing was being a fair, imbalanced, impartial journalist.
That's all I'm saying.